Welcome to the History AI Podcast, where the past comes alive with facts, anecdotes, and a dash of humor. Here are your hosts, Chuck and Marco.
Hey, history buffs. Welcome back to the History AI Podcast, where we dive deep into the stories that shape the world. I'm Chuck.
And I'm Marco. Today, we're tackling an era where the US was on the brink of chaos, but an unusual compromise patched things up, well, sort of. We're talking about the Compromise of 1877.
Yeah, and Marco, this was no ordinary political compromise. This was backroom dealmaking at its finest, with a presidential election at stake, intense political maneuvering, and even interference from big businesses like the Associated Press and Western Union.
Absolutely. This was the kind of political drama that could rival today's headlines. But don't worry, listeners, we'll guide you through the players, the stakes, and the fallout. So, buckle up, because it's about to get intense.
All right, so let's set the stage for the Compromise of 1877 by talking about the wild and complicated election of 1876. This was an election for the ages, featuring two heavyweights, Republican Rutherford B. Hayes and Democrat Samuel J. Tilden. And get this, Hayes and Tilden both had powerful allies working behind the scenes. Some of them were pretty high-profile players, like Western Union and the Associated Press.
Right. Western Union wasn't just any old telegraph company. They held a monopoly on telegraph communication across the country, which made them the main way news traveled from coast to coast. Now, William Henry Smith, the head of the Associated Press and a key player in Western Union, was a close friend of Hayes. So, let's just say they had more than a professional interest in seeing Hayes come out on top.
Exactly. Smith used Western Union's resources to help give Hayes an advantage in the election. For one, Western Union had complete control over telegraph lines, which meant they could manage the speed and visibility of news coverage. If you can believe it, Smith was able to use these lines to influence the flow of information, sometimes even intercepting Democratic telegrams that were meant to be private.
This created a major advantage for Hayes and the Republicans. Imagine you're in the 1870s, relying on telegraph messages to know who's winning or losing. If you're getting news that favors one candidate, it's bound to influence your perspective. Western Union's control over news distribution helped shift public perception, or at least contain negative news about Hayes when it mattered most.
And this wasn't just idle support, either. The Republicans and Western Union were truly allied. They worked together to make sure Republican messaging got through quickly and clearly, especially in key states where the outcome was tight. Western Union made sure Republican victories were quickly reported, while delays or suppressions occurred for pro-Tilden news. Essentially, Smith and Western Union could shape the election narrative in real time.
The Democrats knew something was off, but didn't have much power to fight it. They were suspicious of the delays in their own news getting through, and even more suspicious of the lightning speed transmission of anything that benefited Hayes. But because Western Union owned the infrastructure, Democrats were stuck. There was no other way to move information as fast.
Despite all of this, though, Tilden still pulled ahead in the popular vote. He ended up with more than 250,000 more votes than Hayes. But when it came to the Electoral College, things were razor close. Tilden had 184 electoral votes, just one shy of the 185 needed to win outright. Hayes had 165. But the real drama lay in 20 contested electoral votes from four states: Florida, Louisiana, South Carolina, and Oregon.
Those contested votes opened the door for some serious election controversy. Both parties claimed victory in these states, alleging fraud, vote tampering, and intimidation by the other side. Local officials in each state would even send in competing vote tallies, one version showing a Democratic win, another showing a Republican win.
It was absolute chaos. This is where the involvement of Western Union and the AP became even more critical. With the tight vote and disputed states, the media's influence could sway undecided people and ratchet up pressure. The Republicans, thanks to their control over key communication channels, could send out messages casting doubt on Tilden's win and support Hayes's claims.
And so, in January 1877, with no resolution in sight, Congress stepped in and created a special electoral commission. This commission was meant to decide the fate of those 20 disputed electoral votes. And as we know, The resulting decision, handing those votes to Hayes, would lead directly to the infamous Compromise of 1877.
So even though Tilden had the popular vote and significant support, the alliance between Hayes, Smith, and Western Union ensured Hayes was the last man standing. The media influence and telegraph control gave the Republicans a huge edge, helping Hayes scrape together the votes he needed. To settle the dispute, Congress created a special commission in January 1877. It was made up of 5 senators, 5 representatives, and 5 Supreme Court justices, half Republicans and half Democrats, with 1 independent. But before the process even got going, the independent justice resigned, and a Republican took his place.
That tipped the commission toward the Republicans. The commission ultimately awarded all 20 disputed electoral votes to Hayes, handing him the presidency by a single electoral vote, 185 to 184. But it wasn't as simple as that.
No, far from it. The Democrats, particularly Southern Democrats, were furious. They had strong support for Tilden, especially in the South, and they believed he'd been robbed of the presidency. There was even talk of armed resistance and reopening the scars of the Civil War.
This is where the infamous Compromise of 1877 comes into play. It wasn't written down, not an official treaty or anything, but more like a handshake deal. The agreement had to satisfy both sides, or the country would slip back into conflict.
So here's the deal. The Democrats agreed to accept Hayes as president if the Republicans would remove federal troops from the South, essentially ending Reconstruction. The South had been under federal occupation since the end of the Civil War to enforce new laws and protect African American rights. With those troops gone, the Southern states could regain control without federal interference.
And the Republicans made additional promises, like funding Southern infrastructure projects and appointing a Democrat to Hayes's cabinet. In return, Democrats wouldn't contest Hayes's presidency or encourage an insurrection.
With the compromise in place, Hayes was inaugurated as president on March 5, 1877. But this compromise came with a steep cost.
The Compromise of 1877 effectively ended Reconstruction. Without federal troops, Southern states enacted Jim Crow laws, systematically dismantling the progress made for African Americans during Reconstruction.
Yeah, this was a tragic pivot point. African Americans in the South lost a lot of hard-won rights, including voting rights, protection from racial violence, and access to public resources. It was open season for discrimination, and the repercussions would last well into the 20th century.
The Republicans might have won the White House, but they lost their influence in the South for generations. The Democrats regained control over Southern politics and entrenched segregation for nearly a century.
And politically, the deal marked the end of Reconstruction's lofty ideals. The North essentially abandoned the South's African American population in favor of a quick political resolution. They'd fought a bloody war over these principles, but in the end, they compromised them away.
And here's a twist. Some historians believe Hayes wasn't even fully on board with the compromise himself. He'd actually campaigned on being fair to the South and supporting Black Americans. But the political reality and the pressure on both parties forced his hand.
That's a great point, Marco. Hayes is often called Rutherford or his fraudulency by historians who think the election was stolen for him. But in reality, he was in a tough spot and ultimately didn't have much choice.
Exactly. He didn't even get a shot at a second term. He pledged to be a one-term president to help calm things down. And despite the title, he tried to keep his promises for fairness during his single term.
So, we know the political outcome of the Compromise of 1877. Hayes became president, the South regained control, and Reconstruction ended. But was the compromise worth it?
That's a tough question. On one hand, the country avoided a second civil war. The South accepted Hayes, and the immediate risk of widespread conflict was avoided. But in the long term, abandoning Reconstruction meant millions of African Americans were left unprotected.
That's right. It was a kind of peace, but at a steep moral cost. The North's promises to rebuild the South in a fair and just way pretty much evaporated, and this set up a century of racial injustice that would haunt the nation.
Not to mention, this episode revealed just how much power media and big corporations held over politics, even in the 1800s. Western Union and the Associated Press set a precedent for influencing elections. Sound familiar?
Absolutely. it's a reminder that media influence isn't new. Powerful institutions have always shaped public opinion, and backroom deals and compromises aren't modern inventions.
History definitely has a way of repeating itself. But one thing's clear, the Compromise of 1877 was a pivotal moment. It kept the country intact, but left a legacy of unfulfilled promises and division.
And it's a reminder that compromises often come with a cost. For the U.S., that cost was 100 years of segregation. Well, that's a wrap on today's dive into the Compromise of 1877. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And hey, a 5-star review goes a long way in helping us grow.
Also, don't forget to check out our new merchandise. We've got tees, mugs, and more, perfect for the history buffs in your life. The link's in the show notes.
We love hearing from you, so connect with us on social media to let us know what topics you'd like us to cover next. Who knows, maybe your idea will be our next episode.
Thanks for joining us on this historical journey. Until next time, keep exploring the past to better understand our present.
Bye, everyone. Discover the dark, enchanting world of Shadow Journeys, the tales of Jordan and Squishy. Follow Jordan, a seemingly innocent girl with a hidden power, and her loyal companion Squishy, who reincarnates into different animals after each battle. Venture into the ominous depths of the Whispering Woods as they face fierce creatures and uncover ancient secrets. Will Jordan succumb to the darkness within, or will she find the strength to forge a new destiny? Perfect for fans of dark fantasy and epic quests, this spellbinding tale will captivate and leave you pondering the fine line between hero and villain. Dive into Shadow Journeys today. Available on Amazon now.